This is an interview show, and we have the privilege of my interview with Danielle Collier. And she is from Sacramento. She's a local, and she is a singer. She graduated just recently in June from Chico State as a music major, and she is headed off to New York City to study women's studies and further her music career. Before we talk with Danielle, I'd like to invite you to email me, gkimble@csuchico.edu, if you have ideas for shows, topics that you'd like to hear about, talk about. And I'd like to thank the people who make this show and KZFR possible. Ask Dr. Yale is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Friends of the Arts, your state local partner to the California Arts Council since 2001. Friends of the Arts creates economic opportunity by producing and supporting events and by publishing a bi-monthly arts and culture newsletter. To stay in the know or have your event listed, visit friendsof.art. Ask Dr. Gale is also made possible by Drunken Dumpling in Chico. It's a lovely restaurant serving locally sourced, fresh, handmade Asian fusion comfort food at 1414 Park Avenue, Suite 120, just behind Nobby's. Completely different kind of food there. Drunken Dumpling is open from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. Tuesday through Thursday, and from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Friday and Saturday. To learn more about their menu, you can look at their Facebook page, Instagram, or at Drunken Dumpling Chico, all one word, .com. Drunken Dumpling is where they love food, flavor, and our community. So that's drunkendumplingchico.com. So let's hear from Danielle.
VCSO is reducing the Bangor Zone's order and warning. Info VCSO web or call 833-512-5378.
So, Danielle Collier, you are a Gemini like me. So, we were both born in June. You a little bit after me. Where and when were you born?
June 5th, Sacramento.
And you have a lot of siblings. How many?
Nine.
Yeah. And you're the baby.
I am.
What I always wonder, because I only had a brother, I always wonder about the mechanics of feeding 10 people. The parents have to be so organized, and you had a single mom. How is the feeding, the clothing, the getting to school and lessons and sports events? You have to be like a super genius organizer, manager, mama.
So me and my siblings, a lot of us have a big age gap, right? So my eldest sibling is in his 40s right now. I'm in my 20s. So by the time I was, you know, in school, and there was some siblings already moved out, grown and out of the house. But when I was coming up, it was 5 to 6 of us still in the house. So that's what was on her plate. Not that 5 or 6 is easy, but less than 10.
And then how does one do that? I mean, did you have, like, chores assigned to you? Did you eat? Just the cooking. How did she do that, organize that, your mother?
Well, a lot of it was, like, you know, school and stuff. School is going to do your first two meals. Then when you come home, Oh, and chores, yeah. Our chore schedule wouldn't be like, you know, you switch off every day. She didn't have the time to argue with who was doing the dishes and lunch. No, we stuck with our chores every 3 months. So you knew you were doing the kitchen because you were doing it for the last 2 months. So keep doing it. Then we'd switch after every 3 months. She is a superwoman. I don't know how she kept saying with so many children, but she did.
And did she start out wanting to have that many children? Was that like a goal for her?
She says she always wanted 10. Yes, she wanted 10 children. So she went and did what she set her heart out to do.
And how many children were there in her family?
She's one of 9.
Mm. Oh, so she was doing what she knew. Sometimes the youngest gets kind of protected, taken care of, not encouraged to do things on their own. What did you find the effect on you of being the youngest of so many siblings?
My mom was about 41 when she had me. So it was a lot of stepping in by other family members who stepped in and like helped out to take care of me, you know, because by the time, she had me as a working single mom, she was working and had my elder siblings to take care of. So our family helped out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I was definitely more independent. Still am pretty independent.
Mm. So that was your aunts and uncles that stepped in to help care for you?
I have my god family. I've had other families step in and just sort of take that role. So I say now, like, I have a lot of families. I've been blessed with so many different families because I've been cared for and loved by so many different people.
Mm. And what did you learn about being how was it defined to be a good woman? What did you learn from your family, school, church, peers, whatever? This is how we think of, we want you to become.
My definition of being a good woman. I think the definition that I've stuck with is more so the definition of being a good woman that I found in adulthood. Because the world can sort of shape you to be however they want you to be, right? My definition of being a good woman and when I've been most happy and grounded is when I decided to live by my own beat. And I set the standard for myself, which means prioritizing my boundaries, my happiness, and as long as it doesn't step on the toes or go in the lanes of anyone else, of course. When you live for yourself and when your priority is seeing yourself smile, I think everything else sort of falls into place and the right people who are meant to be there stick around and those who aren't fall off and it's all love. But I think being a good woman is being a good woman to yourself and listening to your own needs.
You were really a self-starter. It says on your bio on your website that when you were 6, you did Google searches for talent shows so that you could sing in public. I mean, 6 is pretty young to be doing Google searches and starting your career. So you were a self-starter.
Yeah, I had to be. My mom had other children to involve with, and my older brothers did sports, and my sisters, I don't think that they did modeling in their younger years, but my mom was real busy with my older brothers, so it was like I seen how much she had on her plate, so I knew, I always knew, and she knew as well that singing was my calling, and so I would get on any computer, search up auditions or talent shows, school talent shows, catch the bus, catch a light rail, walk a little bit.
And that meant you were a good reader at age 6, that you could read on Google.
I think when I, at 6, I was more so doing school talent shows. I was about, I want to say I was 11 when I was going to like citywide talent shows.
If someone wants to hear your music, could you play something that you'd like us to kind of introduce us to your form of art?
Of course. So what my latest release now is Be Weird, and it's all about individuality, and it's all about allowing people to fall back if they want to fall back, or be in your life if they want to be in your life. It's about not forcing anything and allowing things to gravitate towards you. My music can be found on all streaming platforms: Apple Music, Tidal, Spotify, YouTube Music, Amazon, everywhere. And it's under the name D Sings, D.CINGS. And I can play a little bit now.
I'd like that.
Let me see if I can skip to the part where
find it for yourself, and it'll save you some peace. I know trust, I know love, I know what it means. To find it for yourself, and it'll save you some peace. So be weird.
Great. So what is your website? So if people want to check out what you do.
DCINGS.com. Okay. And that'll have my YouTube link, that'll have my social media, that'll have merchandise, all of that.
And your bio, you say the artist is her own writer, vocalist, clothing design, producer, manager, not only a person but a brand. You represent individuality, authenticity, standing out, serving your purpose, not people. What do you do in terms of clothing design? The t-shirts that you sell?
Yes. So I had to, because I didn't want a logo that was simple, I would say. And I wanted to design it myself, because I knew if I had someone else design it, I'd be like, can you tweak that? Can you move that? What about that in gray? Okay, what about in pink? And I just changed that too much. So I had to learn how to work. Well, first I had to get a MacBook laptop. And I was blessed to have a sponsor support me getting a MacBook, and I had to learn how to create logos, and so that was a new trade for me, and learn how to do Photoshop and editing and all that. And so once I got the logo to look how I wanted it, I took it to someone who makes shirts, and I was like, this is what I want, and they're like, that's too complicated. And they're like, that's about 20 layers on top of one layer. It won't necessarily come out. If we cut it, we can't press it and print it the way that you would want it. They're like, maybe if you made it flat, then we could do it. But layered like that, we can't do that. Like, it's not possible. So then I reached out to a friend whose mom makes clothes, and I was like, okay, how can I get this here? And this was the most stressful part of the project. It was the worst. I was like, I just sing. Like, this is not what I signed up for. Like, this is not what I wanted to do. But it took so much trial and error, trying different heat press on papers and different fabrics and wasting shirts and buying materials and going through printers and going through the papers and getting the heat press machine. And thankfully, I was donated the materials to, like, have the heat press and the Cricut machine, and so I was trying different things on that and watching YouTube videos, and I finally got it. And I was like, okay, this is the shirt that I want. And then at that time, I was like, I don't even want to sell these. I worked so hard on it. Like, I want this for myself. But then after that, I had to learn how to put it on my website. So I had to start playing with website design and learn how to sell merchandise and get the appropriate licensing to sell.
Listener-supported community
once
radio.
Once I got up on the website,
Sacramento,
and I had
the
type of description and
beyond.
So forth,
this is Gail Kimball. The
uploaded
show is
and then posted
Dr.
and then
Gail.
Advertised it on my social media and carry all that to every performance and set it up in table one and then go on stage to perform.
singer, musician.
Do you have a t-shirt nearby you can show us?
New York. And we'll return to Danielle.
So all of my merchandise, I wanted it to be, and then of course the artist in me is sort of picky, so I didn't want to do all colors of shirts. I wanted all my shirts to be earth tone because I love nature. I'm a nature girl, so I only want to do earth tone pastel kind of shirts. So I have two colors left. I have this, I don't know if you can see them. It's like a real pastel yellow, and let me get real close so you can see the design. The design is probably flipped, inverted, but it's these things, but it's each letter is symbolized something else. This moon is the sea, a tree is the eye, the N is headphones, the G is the G from the Google logo, and the S is like the swirl that's on barred gates in low-income communities. And it's just very layered, very colored. A lot of different colors on here, but it's very earthy. So I have the yellow one in this sort of like a brown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Other rustic brown tone.
Neat. Then what led you to just congratulations, graduate from Chico State and major in music production? Why Chico State?
I initially wanted to go to New York, interesting enough. But once I got the financial aid packages back from all the schools, and I got to realistically sit down and look at the cost of education, Chico State, I didn't realize that at the time, part of me was going to be such a blessing in just the experience, but Chico State was the most affordable. And it was far enough from home, but close enough to home, you know? So I chose Chico blindly based on finances, and it ended up being the best thing for me.
Because they have a real technical music production, hands-on kind of music major.
Yeah.
What is it called?
They have a soda productions team. I'm a music major with a focus in vocal instruction. So I focus on singing and the anatomy of the voice. But Chico State does have a great production team that helps with music and performing and advertising their artists and just really putting people out there.
I interviewed a young woman from Oakland, a black woman, who left Chico State because she said she would do things like get on the elevator and white students would walk out. And it's a pretty white campus, less so than it used to be. I wondered what kind of challenges that's presented and how you deal with that kind of prejudice.
I think I noticed it more. I noticed it more in my earlier years here because I came from a predominant black neighborhood and high school. So I was used to mannerisms, customs, body language of other black people. So coming to Chico, I heard more stories and had more friends who experienced prejudice and tragedies out here in regards to race, especially after the Paradise Fire. As far as me, from my experience, and the predominant white major, because Chico State is no longer a predominant white campus, as a predominant white, or as one of the only black students in a predominant white major, it did start out hard, not knowing how to network, and, you know, if no one was speaking to me, I wasn't speaking to them, so it did start out hard, but sort of as my music got around and spoke for itself, that opened up a lot of people to wanting to be friends and wanting to be social, and I'm still more so to myself. I'm pretty quiet, go to class, sit in the front, be the first out the door.
What did you notice in terms of definitions of women's strength in growing up in a black community and going to college with a lot of white people? Were there any ways that women were viewed differently in terms of what we aspire to?
I think I've never actually thought about that. That's an interesting comparison to make. Within a Black community, just the one that I was raised in, specifically Oak Park, women are very independent and very self-reliant. So the moms would cook dinner and pick the weeds and mow the lawn and wash the car and take the kids to school, put a Band-Aid on the wounds, get the aloe vera, and, you know, jump someone's car. Like, the women were praised for being... praised or sort of expected to be independent and almost to almost an unrealistic standard, to an unhealthy standard, to just always be okay. That's typically the stigma Black women have to live up to always be okay. I think out here, I'd surrounded myself with other strong Black women, so I don't really know what other people are praising themselves to do, because I've been surrounded by a strong group of Black women who they work hard, but in a different way. Like they more so encourage me to use my mind, as opposed to like picking weeds and having yard sales to generate income. They encourage me to challenge myself and to use my mind, and value that just as much as I value the work that I do with my hands. And that has been helpful as well.
Mm-hmm. Did you take any women's studies, gender studies, ethnic studies courses?
I did. I was in a women and religion class, multicultural studies class, a few of those courses, and now I've added a double minor in women's studies and multicultural studies. So I'll be diving deeper into that.
But that's when you go to New York, right? Right. What? So do you think of yourself as a feminist?
More so a womanist.
Like Alice Walker's term.
Right.
And what is that? What's the difference between a womanist and a feminist?
Alice Walker's quote is, a womanist is to feminist as purple is to lavender. So they support the same things. The first wave feminist movement focused on women's rights, but didn't stick it through enough to make sure that all women's rights were met. As opposed to second wave and third wave feminism that focused on the rights for underprivileged communities and women that weren't spoke up for. So minorities, lower class, people of color. The second wave feminist movement, womanism, focused on the rights for those groups.
That's third wave, with intersectionality and Crenshaw's intersectionality. I think the second wave got criticized for being white privileged women, and then the third wave said, no, we're not going to just feature white women. We're talking about how it's not just gender, it's our ethnicity, it's our religion, it's our ethnicity, it's our class, it's our nationality. And so that really was a key point. And then people say fourth wave is really influenced by media, internet, blogs, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Some people don't like the idea of waves because it makes it seem like a problem is over. Like, women got the vote in the first wave, ba-da-da. But to me, it's useful because there are chronological emphases in terms of struggle for women's rights. So if do you see yourself as part of a certain wave?
No, I can't say I haven't studied fourth wave feminism enough to speak for that. But... yeah, the one that I studied most passionately is third wave feminism, focusing on being aware of all your intersections, and or just everyone more so being aware of their intersections, because that also makes some people aware of their privilege and others aware of what their I hate to say combating.
Yeah. It's interesting to me because we tend to think of history as moving and towards progress, but then that's not true because we had Trump and all the sexism and now all the rollback and reproductive rights and access to your own women's own body. These white male legislators saying that moment of conception, we have control over your body. So it's not an upward movement.
If you're just joining us, this is KZFR, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. And this is Gail Kimball. You're listening to Ask Dr. Gail interview show. I ask you to email me with suggestions for topics, gkimball@csuchico.edu. And want to remind you that Shalom Free Clinic has free health care every Sunday afternoon at 1010 Mangrove behind a dental office. And every Wednesday night is Reiki and chakra balancing with me and two Liz's, Elizabeth and Elizabeth, who do Reiki. And again, the Wednesday energy balancing is from 5 to 7 p.m. 1010 Mangrove. Come by and say hello to us. So if you're just joining us, we're listening to Danielle Collier. She's a singer, musician, clothing designer, just graduated from Chico State in music, off to study women's studies in New York and fly her wings. So let's hear more of Danielle, and you can go to her website at dsings.com to learn more about her music. It's dcings.com. So here is Danielle.
She was like crazy in grants, like crazy in, I was like, okay, well, ready or not, you know, the time is now. And so I decided to put all my faith, I decided to ride on faith and put all my faith in God and allow myself to walk by faith and not by sight and not by fear.
And what college are you going to?
I'll be going to Stony Brook.
Oh, New York, NYU Stony Brook.
Yes.
And then, so these are undergraduate courses. It's not a master's.
No.
And then what will you do with it? Where are you headed with these courses?
Where am I headed with these courses? You mean like what do I want to do with my degree?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's more of experience. There is no set job or career. There is no job that I want with this. I value the wisdom that I've got from the wisdom and the networking and the experience that I've gotten. There is no job that I'm going to apply for. I don't believe in creating a plan B for yourself. I will be a world-renowned musician, singer, performer, and I don't believe in creating a plan B, something for me to fall back on, because I'm going to go full force for my plan A, and that's where I'll end up. So it's for the experience, and it helps my music when I'm more educated about what I'm talking about, and my experience in just conversation with people. It helps when I, one, know what I'm talking about and can connect with people. The passion from my music definitely comes from connection.
When you look at next semester, do you know what courses you're going to take? I'm interested in, like, the titles, what the subject matter will be.
I do have it down. I have my courses selected already. I can't remember them now. They're all in that portal online. But I know they're all women's classes because I've taken every music class. And then I do have one class that intersects with womeninity and music. And so I'm excited about that course as well. But they're all women in culture classes.
Interesting. What's your next step in getting your music out? I mean, are there New York venues, organizations that you want to connect with in terms of your music?
Absolutely. And that's sort of where I am now. My break from classes means that I have more time to put into my career. So I'm still working three jobs at the moment. I'm sorry, can you see me?
No.
Can you see me now?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm still working three jobs at the moment, and so my free time from not having homework, that helped. I use that time to send my music out to different radio stations in New York and find the different hosts of each radio show and connect with them and let them know that I'm going to be moving nearby and would like to get in contact or perform at some venues. And I send my performances and I send my songs. And I'm doing that now, but before I touch ground there. So even if they don't respond, you're like, have not heard of you somewhere. To put it out.
Do you have another song you could share with us now?
Ooh, I do.
I like the background of famous singers behind you on the wall.
Oh, thank you. It's definitely inspiration for myself. Mm.
There's a video of my interview with Danielle on my YouTube channel. So if you want to see Danielle in person, just go to Gail Kimball YouTube and you will see her and interviews with other people. So there's video as well as audio. Okay, Danielle.
Yeah, so this song 2020 was released June of 2020. I made it right after the murder of George Floyd. I was feeling really heavy. I think the world was heavy, but in particular the Black community, of course we've seen something like that before, but seeing it in present times while going through a pandemic, it was a lot for us. And so I was feeling really heavy and down. I didn't know how to express myself. And a good friend of mine was like, well, you know, art helps for you. And I was like, no, not this. This is too deep. So I went and I sat in front of, I went to the studio and I was like, I don't have anything. I don't have any words. I don't have any music. Can we just start? He was like, okay. He starts tapping around on the piano. And here's 2020. I wish I could share my screen and play the video too, but it won't let me do that. Oh, it will let me share screen. I think if I share my screen, it'll connect the audio.
Try.
Let's see.
While Danielle is figuring out the text, let me thank some more people who make this radio station possible. So... Ask Dr. Gale is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by D.A. Lampe Construction, a proud supporter of KZFR and community radio in Northern California. For more information, visit dalampeconstruction.com. And Lampe is spelled L-A-M-P-E. Ask Dr. Gale is also made possible by Mountain Sports for over 45 years, providing outdoor clothing and equipment for hiking, backpacking, camping, traveling, and enjoying the great outdoors. Mountain Sports is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. till 5:30 p.m. and 11 to 4 on Sunday at 176 East 3rd Street in downtown Chico. As a footnote, I'm interested in locally owned, family-owned businesses. And for this radio show, previous sessions, I interviewed local businesses that have been in the same family for generations, like Northern Star Mills, Sano Saw Works, Schubert's Ice Cream, square deal mattresses. Some of them are on their fifth or sixth generation of the family involved in the business. For some reason, that really tickles me. And you can see the video interviews with those people on my YouTube channel. So I think Danielle has found her song, and we will hear it.
A half strikes against us is too much. Where is my wallet? My dear. I got a cash attack. Girl, stop it. You want small. I'll just go for a drive. Corey Jones. What if I miss a stop sign? Sandra Bland. Okay, I'll just walk to the store. Mike Brown. For snacks and nothing more. Trayvon Martin. I'll jog, so I'll make it quick. Ahmaud Arbery. I got a cell phone, if it looks suspicious. Stephon Clark. Okay, I'll just run home, so I won't be out alone. No running, Walter Scott. The noggin strap to carry my own. Philando Castile. I got a question now, cause this just sounds wrong. No question asking Randy Evans. Then I'll go to sleep. Breonna Taylor. It's our children, it's our mothers, it's our sisters, and our brothers. And you wonder why we're mad. It's our children, it's our mothers, it's our sisters, and our brothers. And you wonder why we're mad. We're forgotten, we're tormented, we're abandoned and heartbroken, and you wonder why we're sad. So, take a day, and put yourself in my shoes. Take a day, I wonder how would you do. Take a day and take the weight of being black off my back. It's a purpose. Tastes like that. Take a day and put yourself on my shoes. Take a day, I wonder how would you do. Take a day and take the weight of being black off my back. It tastes like that. Take a day and put yourself in my shoes. Lace them up tight. Be careful because they're big boots. Laces are gone. Holes at the bottom. No comfort inside. What happened? Why are you not smiling? I said we can't breathe, we can't breathe, we can't breathe. We can't breathe, we can't breathe, we can't breathe. Take a knee, take a knee, take a knee.
Thank you. Powerful.
Thank you.
Is that why some people called you the voice of Black Lives Matter in Sacramento?
That's the song right there.
Yeah. What's going on with Black Lives Matter? People say that it's interesting because it's led by women, black women, a lot of queer women. It's different than civil rights in the 50s in terms of the leadership. What do you see happening in 2022?
I think times have changed. And so the leaders are going to look different, and I don't think their sexual orientation or identity matters. I think the problem is the police brutality. The problem is the discrimination. So no matter who spearheads it or who's holding up the signs, the poster boards, who's organizing the march, the problem is still here. The solutions are still far, far fetched. The solutions are still dangling over our heads.
If you had great power and became, you know, the queen of the U.S., what would you do so that people feel like they're safe in their neighborhoods, but cops don't go out of bounds?
What realistic change could be implemented? Is that what you're...
Sure, that's a good...
seeing realistic, measurable change could start with cultural competence training for officers. Mm. There is a gap between Black people, what we think we know about white people, and white people and what they think they know about Black people. I think the gray area, and not that either feelings aren't valid, especially I'm not an advocate for, I can't speak for all Black people, because definitely all feelings are valid. But I think what could help is cultural competence training and teaching these officers that get in the field and put themselves in or get around low-income communities and get around Black people, and all they know is that Black people in the movies are criminals, and they have this stigma, and so they're already afraid, and there's so many lives lost. There's so many murders because officers were afraid for their lives when there was no threat, no weapon. That fear comes from a stigma. That fear comes from racism. And so teaching and breaking that barrier to where there can be communication and sending these officers to maybe volunteer in these communities without a holster and get to know these people and get to see that these are still humans, not something to slaughter, that could help.
And that what's so interesting is the southern states are really cramping down on what they call critical race theory. That does just that. That says we have to look at our history, the facts, the reality. Hello, this is reality. But they're pulling back on that on states like Florida. So we're going the opposite again in terms of cultural competency.
I think with how public everything is in the media nowadays, and how you see, I think nowadays with how public everything is, you have to choose to be ignorant, because now every group can advocate for themselves using social media and podcasts and the internet, and so there's not just one newspaper that's making a group look a certain way. You have to choose to be, for the most part, you're choosing to be ignorant when you can go and educate yourself on these communities by following a page, subscribing to a channel. So there's never been an excuse, but there's really no excuse for it now. I think times are getting better.
We just had a case that I don't know very much about, where a vice principal at an elementary school called Rosedale was suspended because she did too much for teaching kids about equality issues and racism and whatever. So it always seems like it's two steps forward, one step backwards, one step forward, two steps backwards. I don't know.
Yeah.
In going back to New York, will you live? Do you know where you're going to live?
No. On my faith, no.
Are you going to look like for a room in a shared house or kind of a deal, so it's affordable?
Mm-hmm. Definitely looking at those options.
Uh-huh. How far is Long Island from Manhattan?
1 hour.
Oh, because I interviewed a couple of young women who live in Manhattan, and they might know of places, but that's an hour away is too much. What's to return to young people, college students? There's a kind of a crisis, not just for college students, but kids of really young ages in terms of anxiety, depression. Mm-hmm. Suicide rate has gone up. And I wondered, as an observer and of your peers, what do you see as to what's the cause of this crisis of mental health for kids of all different backgrounds?
You said what is the cause? That's a... Can That's a big question. That's like a medical discovery that hasn't been made yet. I can't say what the cause of depression and anxiety is.
Some people say it's social media, especially for girls, that they feel like they're not living up to the glamorous lives of their peers who go to parties and have certain kind of clothes and whatever, so they feel left out of it and inadequate or something. But I think that could be a part of it, but I don't think it's the main thing. What I think is there's so much pressure on young people today to get AP classes, do well on SATs, get into a good college. No, you're going to graduate with like $35,000 in debt. You got to get a good job, pay for that debt. It's harder to get into a good university. It's just, there's just a lot of pressure. I worry about the environment. Our planet's being trashed.
I think our planet's always been being trashed. I don't think depression and anxiety are new. I think we're more, like I was saying, we are talking about more this generation, and we are frontlining things more, because if you listen to some old folks talk about the way that they grew up and how they handled it, addiction was oftentimes how they remedied certain things. And if you listen to it, it sounds like it was depression, but back then, at least for my family, they didn't have the time or space or room to be depressed, because the cows had to be milked, the pigs had to be slopped, the chickens needed to be, like, there was things that needed to get done, and there was no education on how to treat these things, or it being okay to talk about these things. So I don't believe that depression is new. I think we're comfortable talking about it, and that is new.
Uh-huh. That's what some people say, like, about autism. There's so many more kids on the autism spectrum. Is it because there are more kids, or just because we have a label for it and we know what to look for? Maybe kids have always been on the spectrum and been considered different or that kind of thing. Another kind of issue, I guess, between black and white is cultural appropriation. And I know a black young woman movie star was angry at one of the Kardashians for doing cornrows and said that was cultural appropriation. And somehow that was a big issue. What do you think that's an issue?
Do I think cultural appropriation is an issue?
Yeah.
It's annoying. I think cultural appropriation is annoying. Is it an issue? I can't say cultural appropriation isn't an issue because someone else is cool with it. I can't speak for the whole black community, but if a sister says it's an issue, well, it's an issue. Do I take it personal? It's annoying, but it's flattering.
Yeah, it's saying this is very attractive and appealing, and I want to look like that. Yeah, so I was curious about if that's offensive.
So there's different cultural appropriation. Now, Kim Kardashian wearing a braid in her hair is one thing, but there's things like the skin darkening and the box braids and the lip injections, and to where you almost want to recreate all black features except the black struggle. Now that's a problem. Everybody going to be down until it's time to get down and put their hands up. Then that's too black. And so yeah, that cultural appropriation in that sense is a problem. Now, you wearing a braid, wearing a certain brand, that's nothing but flattering. But when you try to overstep or model black features or the culture, and you overstep, then that's a problem. Because it's like, hey, just acknowledge and respect and appreciate without imitation and without mockery.
Yeah, it's kind of like wearing blackface in the old vaudeville shows that were white performers. Yeah, I get it. In terms of your music field, black rappers have gotten criticized for misogyny, talking about women as hoes and bitches and that kind of thing. I wonder what's your take on hip hop and rap in terms of how women are portrayed.
I think something very special about me doing live interviews is that I'm so blunt, and so when I'm live is one of the only times where I have to really think before I speak. And this is a very interesting. What is my take on hip hop and rap? Can I ask a more specific question?
Well, in terms of misogyny, of talking about women as ho and, you know, bitches and that kind of thing.
Wow, this is a really hard question.
Do you think it's a problem, or do you think it's not a problem?
I think there's a time and a place. I think there's a time and a place. I think knowing the difference between art and culture and how to present yourself to a woman is one thing. I think knowing the difference, I think there's a time and a place. I think, there are certain artists who can objectify women in their obscene lyrics. And I definitely don't condone any sexual harassment in lyrics. Like, you'll hear lyrics in a rap song like, yada, 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 put something in the drink. You're like, wait a minute, whoa, that's not okay. Like, and so there's a clear line drawn there. I don't condone artists that represent that or that will stand for that. But I think within the culture, and so there's a difference between like degrading and art. Inside my personal take on that.
It is. It's obviously not just black people. It's Eminem and it's the Rolling Stones, that squirrely dog under my thumb. So it's pervasive throughout all of popular music, I think you could say.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think there's certain artists where I would get get offended by the use, but just hearing bitch or hoe in a song is not going to target me. I don't feel like a hoe.
Do you address kind of sexist issues in your songs? Misogynist problems in your songs?
Misogynist. Have I addressed any misogyny in my songs? Sort of. I have. I have a song, Go On, where I talk about, and it's not necessarily misogyny, but I sort of talk about how women are expected to live for love, and how we're expected to just desire to be married, and that's said to be our goal. And so my song is like, I don't want that. You can keep it. And so it's like, I'm not looking for that right now. Like, I'm genuinely happy by myself. So I'm like, you could keep the cute shit. You could keep the dates. I say I'll pay for my own food. Like, I'm just okay right now. Like, I'm good. I'm in a happy space. And so that sort of addressed the expectations as a woman's part. But I haven't yet made a song about men's expectations for women.
That would be interesting to do, and see how your feminism plays or your womanism plays out with your music. Do you have Go On that you could play for us easily?
I do, but there's cussing in it. Can I play it on? Is that okay if I still play it?
Uh huh.
Okay.
You're listening to 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. If you're just joining us, we're on the tail end of an interview with Danielle Collier, who's a musician and singer. And you can see the video of our interview on Gail Kimball, that's me, YouTube channel. And I want to invite you again, come by on Wednesday for free energy balancing, 1010 Mangrove. And let's see if Danielle found her song. And away we go.
It's a one-way, so you don't mean available. It means I'm free. I can't share my mind with you and you can't feel me. So I don't mind my business, I'm not trying to be issue. I don't mind enough, that's things for right now. I'ma do my music and focus on this cool shit. You've got the glory in me in my house. I know that pain is the cost of love. Right now I ain't got it on me. You can call it what you want, but it's free to be lonely. So go on, hey, go on. I suggest you go on, hey, go on.
So that is Go On.
Okay, that's perfect. That's a feminist song. But you know what's interesting is every young woman I've interviewed for this feminist activist book says the same thing as you. Marriage is not important to me. I want to develop my career, my interests. It's just not a thing like it used to be.
I desire to desire love, I wonder how it will fit with my love for art and music. So maybe I'll just have to marry someone who loves the art and music as much as I do.
We'll see.
We
shall see. Okay, is there anything that we've left out that you would like people to know about your music or your what's important to you?
I'm excited for everyone who hears this to be a part of the up and coming. A lot of times we see interviews of artists once they're established or after they've crashed or things like that. I'm excited for everyone who has been along this journey with me since I was young and those since I was in grade school and those who have joined on and are by my side in supporting my art and music. And I thank those supporters. I thank the active listeners. I thank the people who put me on their playlist because all my art comes from a genuine and a true place. Aside from it being genuine and true, I don't ever plan on stopping. It's my passion. So I'm a good investment. I just thank everybody who's here now and will compare these interviews to my interviews 5 years down the line and be able to say, you know, 5, 10, 20 years down the line and just be able to see the progression. I always emphasize that I'm not promoting perfection. But you can see the growth from my videos from 2012, my videos now. I'm still at it, and I don't plan on stopping.
Great. That was an interview with Danielle Collier, who's a up-and-coming musician, just graduated from Chico State. You can see the interview on my YouTube channel. This is Gail Kimball, and we're really happy to have Peanut Butter Jelly Time coming up. It's 7 o'clock. Sandra's in the studio. While she's setting up, I'm going to thank the people who make peanut butter and